how it is. And so I'm going to ask you to do what you need to do, which is be involved in this service. I'm going to ask you if you have a cell phone. I don't want to hear that while I'm preaching the Word of God. Amen? Did y'all come to hear the Word, or did you come to hear cell phones? Because I didn't come here for that. So I'm going to ask you to turn them down, and I'm going to ask you to be as reverent as you can, because, see, I believe that the Word of God is going to come, the Holy Spirit's coming, and He's going to begin to rest on your heart, and He's going to begin to direct that heart. I believe that what God has given me to minister to you today can and will change your life if you'll let it. But you have to let it be planted. So we're trying to create an environment where that can happen. The rest of it is up to you. Amen? One of the things that God has been dealing with me very strongly on is how God sees us. How God sees us. It's very important for you to understand and for you to let it sink into your soul how God sees you. The Christian spends too much time focusing on how other people see them. The Christian focuses too much time on how other people see them. If somebody said, what is the worst thing about you? I'd probably say that. I worry too much about what people think to my own dismay, and I worry too much about how they see me. And look here, what is more important is how God sees you, number one, and number two, how you see yourself. So I'm going to minister on that. God has really, really worked with me. Most messages that I minister on, it's out of the overflow of my life, what is going on in my life, because you can preach what you know, and you can't preach what you don't know. And so the title of this message is How God Sees Me, How God Sees You. It's important for you to understand how He sees you. And there are many times during my week and during almost every day, I question, you know, how does this person see me? How do they, you know, when you get that way when you're, first of all, any young woman pastor, you're going to have that thought cross your mind because you think, well, how do people think of me? Well, I've wondered that my entire life. One of my elementary school teachers, she wrote on my report card, everybody got a cute little note except for me. And on mine, she put, Kelly is weird. I have read that over and over and over in my life, and you know what? I have to agree. Kelly is weird. But God did not call you to be a run-of-the-mill person. God called you, and he not only called you by a name, but He said, I'm going to set this person apart. And I believe that God has done that with each and every one of you. And so it's not important how other people see you, but it is darn sure important how God sees you and how you see yourself. You can beat yourself up over what you think that people are thinking about you. And let me tell you something. Most people aren't just sitting around thinking about you all the time. And if they are, they're the one with the problem, not you. Amen. And so how God sees you, I'm going to ask you to turn to Judges chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 11. And I'm going to set the scene for you here. We've got the Israelites, and in the eyes of God, they were doing evil. And so for 7 years, He gave them over to the hands of their enemies, the Midianites. And so at the end of that 7 years, God called an awesome man of God. His name was Gideon, and God began to speak to Gideon. And here in verse 6, let me see here. Actually, in verse 11, it says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. And when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And I want to tell you something here this morning. God is with you. God is with you. And so when you see yourself, you need to see, I'm a person that God is with. When you think about how does God see me, God sees you, this person is worth my time, and I'm with them. So it says here that Gideon said, but sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? That's the classical question. If God is really real, if God is really with me, if God is who He says He is, how did this happen? Have you ever asked God that? Well, ain't nobody voting. Let me ask that again, because this is not a spectator sport. This is church here at Parish Christian Center. And see, we're going to stop right here for a moment. Have you ever asked God, look, God, if you were with me, how did this happen? I want to see your hands, because I want to know where you're at. Because see, I'm going to preach where we're at. I'm not going to preach above you. I'm not going to preach beneath you. I'm going to hit it on the mark this morning, because that's what God is requiring of me. I'm going to preach where you're living. So here's Gideon. He says, okay, well, if God's really with me, then how did he let this happen to me? And I'm going to tell you something right here, right now. There is going to be trials and tribulations in your life that happen, and they were no fault of your own, but nevertheless, they happen. And when those things happen, what you got to do is you got to know who you are, and you got to stand on the Word of God. There's nothing else you need to stand on. The Word is enough. That's why you got to have the Word planted in your life. There are things that you're going to go through in your life, and they're of every fault of your own because you made a bad choice. Look here, I'm not that pastor that's going to beat you over the head with that, because you know what? I believe that I serve a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, hundredth chances if you need them. God's giving you a chance every day that you wake up with breath in your lungs. He's giving you a chance. He's going to keep giving you a chance, because second chances and third chances, that is who God is. That is who he is. So if you came in here to this place this morning and you're feeling condemned about yourself, I'm going to ask you to lay that down, because nobody in here is judging you. Nobody in here is judging you. Now, you may be judging yourself, but nobody's judging you. Every single Sunday morning, what do I say to the deacons? We're going to love these folks. That's what we're going to do. Some of them's easy to love, and some of them's hard to love, but we're going to love them all. And y'all got the hardest job. You got to love your pastor, and I'm nuts, so you love me, and you practice on me, and you love them folks, all right? So here's Gideon, and he says, but sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And I'm going to tell you, it's a normal thing when you get in the battle to ask God, God, why did this happen? God, if you're really real, why did this happen to me? You know how many times I've asked God that? But you have to shift from that question, and there has to be a shifting there, and you have to stop asking why, and you have to say, God, you allowed this to happen, so God, in Jesus' name, you're going to get me through it. God, you would not bring me to something that you didn't fully intend on letting me walk through it. God, you are walking me through it, so Lord, I'm going to stop asking you why, and I'm going to start seeing myself how you see me. That is very important. It is important how you see yourself. If you see yourself defeated, you are defeated. If you see yourself struggling, you're struggling. If you see yourself down and out, then you're going to be down and out. If you see yourself and you're holding your head high, guess what? God's holding you high. How are you seeing yourself? And how is God seeing you? There's a lot of times where I'm thinking, ugh. What is this person thinking, and what is that person thinking? And God came to me a month or two ago, and he said, Kelly, that is such an idol for you, and you're going to have to lay that idol down. It doesn't matter what people think. People are a dime a dozen when it comes to being judgmental. People are a dime a dozen when it comes to being judgmental. God wants somebody to keep it real and to be real, put all the judgment aside, and just be a person. Can you just be a person, and can you keep it real with yourself, and can you keep it real with God? Because if you can, God's going to be keeping it real with you. And it don't matter what Sally Sue thinks about you. It matters what God thinks about you and what you think about yourself. Because let me tell you something. People are messed up in this world, and they're thinking a whole number of things. People are thinking things about you, and they have half of the facts. People are looking at you and they're judging you, and they got half of the details, and the other half of the details are made up and messed up. Look here, it don't matter what other people think of you. Now, I don't know why God's wanted me to preach this so strong, but that's what I've got this morning. It does not matter what people think of you, and it's probably because I need to hear it myself. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Amen? So, where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. You need to see yourself as strong because God sees you as strong. God sees you as a strong person. How you see yourself many times is different than how God sees you. I remember there was a period of my life where I was very broken. And I think that everybody goes through this at least one time where you get your first broken heart. Do we all remember that? It's awful. It just really stinks, okay? But we remember it. I remember it. And I was telling God, Lord, I'm never going to recover from this. And he began to minister to me for about 6 months about, Kelly, you need to see yourself how I see you. You need to see yourself how I see you. If you could see how God sees all of y'all, you wouldn't be so hard on yourself. There are times where when I come in here, I'm not going to lie, there's times when I come in here and I'm struggling. And Kelly, God will say, Kelly, go to the back. And I'll go to the back. If you ever see me walking to the back, I'm having a conversation with myself, okay? I'm lining Kelly out. And I'll go to the back. And usually it's in praise and worship. And I'll see all of y'all, and I'll see your hands lifted up, and he says, Kelly, just do what I told you to do. See, this is how I see my kids. I don't see them perfect. Thank God. Praise the Lord. But I see the people that I set apart for a reason. God's not looking down on anybody in this room this morning. He never has and he never will. And this isn't a message to try to fill the pews because I can't do that. God does. Second I start trying to build it, I'm going to have an issue. I've learned that you let things grow. That's what you do. You let them. And the Lord turned to him and he said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? And there's so many times where we're looking at ourselves and we're saying, I can't. And God's saying, you can because I'm the one that told you to do it. So when God sees you, what he sees is somebody well able. God says, well, didn't I send you? Didn't I send you? How many of you got kids in here? I don't ask my kids to do something that they're not capable of doing. Well, I take that back. When I'm trying to prove a point, I do. And I'm going to give you guys a nugget. If you really want to get your children in a vulnerable place, and I'm not a child abuser, but I'm very creative with consequences. I get all the socks that I know darn sure don't have matches. There's a ton of them at my house. I say, okay, match the socks. Don't get up till you match them all. But most of the time, 98% of the time, I don't ask my children to do things that I know that they're not capable of. Because I don't want to discourage them and make them weary. So when God asks you to do something, it's probably going to be a difficult something. He may ask you to forgive somebody. He may ask you to turn the other cheek. He may ask you to step out in faith. He may ask you to do some things that look crazy to you, and you're saying, I can't do it. Because the real reason is what you're seeing yourself as is failing. You don't want to do it because you don't want to fail at it. God's seeing somebody well able, and he's saying, didn't I send you to do it? Didn't I send you? See, it would be different if a man sent you, if a human being sent you to do whatever God called you to do. But when God calls you to do it, that's the thing that makes the difference. And this is what he had to have a moment with Gideon. He said, you know what? I sent you. You could give me that lip and that backlash and all of that if anybody else sent you, Gideon, but me. But I'm sending you, and because I'm sending you, I see you as capable. I see you as well able, and I see you as strong. And because of that, you can do this. And we have to know that God sees us that way. And what we have to do as Christians is we have to align ourselves and our vision up with God. When we don't see ourselves as capable, we have to know that God says we're capable. God is not going to tell you to do something that you are not capable of doing. So it says here, am I not sending you? But Lord Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And so this is how Gideon saw himself, as the weakest and the least. He saw himself as the weakest and the least. Now, what I want to ask you today is, how do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? I know a lot of people, and they think just because they don't have the right last name, they can't do something. Well, let me tell you something. Your last name is not recognized in heaven. Your last name is not recognized in heaven. And it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God thinks. It really matters what God thinks about you, because God knows you best. And here's Gideon, and he's saying, I'm the weakest, and I'm the least. And that's not a healthy way to look at yourself. Let's go now to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 4. At that last part there in Judges, God turns to him and he says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 4. Isaiah chapter 43 has got to be my favorite passage in the whole Bible, because you cannot read that without absolutely falling in love with God, because you realize how much God has done for you, how much he continues to do for you, and how much that he really loves you. So we're looking today in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 4, and it says here, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. So let's break this down. And this is something that I do quite often in the jail ministry that I do every Monday. And I tell these women, I say, you know, let's just cut all the religious nonsense out of the picture, because I'm sure you've heard a lot of it. And let's just break it down. It's really not about how much verses you read out of the Bible every day. It's about how many that you can understand. How many can you understand? And what I've learned to do is hang on every word that God says in his word. You can hang on it. You can build your life on it. And in verse 4 it says, since you are precious. God says that you're precious. And when he sees you, he's seeing somebody that's precious. Now, that's hard for us to do when we're looking at other people and we're thinking about what big jerks they are, right? One of the biggest epiphanies that it took me a while to wrap my brain around is that God loved my worst enemy just as much as he loved me. And I'm going, really? I don't like the sounds of that, God. I feel like you're picking me and not, or picking them and not me. What do you mean you love them? Don't you know what they did? Are you a brat? I mean, I'm a brat. I'm convinced after 37 years of being in the ministry, here's what I know for a fact. And you could write novels on this. You could write biographies. Every person with breath in their lungs, I don't care who they are, every one of them, and every one of y'all, and me especially, all have an inner two-year-old. Man, something don't go our way. First thing I want to do, and if I could get away with it at like 37 years old, I would do it. But I would lay down on the ground, and I would kick and scream and holler and cry and all this stuff. Let me tell you something. When I was little, I used to do that. Way back in the day, we're talking 80s. My mom's like, she sure did. She was awful. I was awful. But he would go and he would preach, like, I mean, everywhere, and he would do all this stuff. And he was, I mean, this man was building a ministry. And he didn't want to take all of us rowdy kids with him everywhere. Now, we went to our fair share of things. But about Friday night, he would leave us home with Mama. Now, when you're building a ministry, you're building God's house first. And I can't tell you, I have so many memories, but I remember specifically what our linoleum floor looked like in the kitchen to this day. And I can tell you where the holes were in the linoleum floor, because I spent more time on that floor as a kid than I did anywhere else. And that's because I pitched a lot of fits in my day. And I would get down there and I would roll around, and my mom would say one thing and it would stop me dead in my tracks. She would say, "When your dad gets home, I'm going to tell him, Kelly Mae, what you did and what you put me through." And that works almost till this day. I mean, she says that, and I stop. Now, one particular time, I was really being awful. Really bad. And she had had it with me. So she sent me to bed. And he was out pretty late. One of my favorite things to do, and if you're a parent, you can kind of understand this, and it's one of those moments that you really cherish with your kids, especially when they're little, is when they'll, in the morning, if they ain't still in the bed with you, which, I'm over that phase of life, but they'll come in your room and they'll crawl in that bed with you, and it's just the sweetest thing. It just really is, makes just parenting just, it's one of the most amazing parts about it. And so I've always been a daddy's girl. I mean, me and him were like two peas in a pod. And I flung that door open, and I went lay down with him. And he goes, "Kelly Mae, you're a mother." And I was thinking, oh, God. "Your mother told me you were really awful last night." And he says, "Is there any truth to that?" I said, "Nope." He goes, "Okay." I didn't get away with that very often, but I remember one time, that was the one freebie. I said, "There is absolutely no truth to that." And Mother was looking at me cross the whole day afterwards. But how does God see you? God sees you as precious. He really, really does. He sees you as precious, and not only does he see you precious, but he sees you as honored. He sees you as honored. And I want to tell you this morning, God sees exactly what you've gone through in your life. There's a lot of times when I'm feeling sorry for myself, and I get alone with myself, and I just cry out to God, and I say, "God, you don't even know what I've been through in my life." I just feel like nobody really knows what I've been through, and we've all been there in that moment. We all think, "God, you know, I've just been through so much stuff, and how much more am I going to have to go through?" And we have that moment with God, and I want to tell you, God sees that, and God honors every hardship that you've been through. God's going to honor that, and he's going to bring the most out of it. He's going to make the best out of it. So when God sees you, God sees a person that's highly honored, that's precious. And it says here, "And because I love you," because I love you. See, there's a lot of things that you would do for somebody that you love. There's a lot of things that you would do for somebody you love. I'm thinking about who I love the most in this world, and it's probably my children. Let me tell you something. I would do a lot for my kids because I love them. I can't even talk about half of the things I would do for them. They're not even legal. But I would do a lot for them because I love them, because I love them. And let me tell you something. God has done a lot for you because he loves you. We have to get this thing out of our head that we think that God's only doing stuff for people that act right. I'm not giving you a free pass. If you're acting up, you need to stop. Amen. If you're stepping out of line and doing things that you shouldn't be doing, you need to quit. But you also don't need to be held up by those things and think that God doesn't love you because of those things, because he does. And there isn't anything that he wouldn't do for you because he loves you. And so it says, "I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life." In another translation, it says, "I will give nations for you." So one of the most important things that you need to understand about God is when God looks at you, he sees value. He sees value. God sees you as valuable. We're the most valuable thing that he has. And I'm bringing that point out because most of what people do, whether they're saved or not, is they devalue themselves. They devalue themselves. You continue to make wrong decisions, and you know they're wrong, but you think, well, I've already done it, so I might as well just get all in and just keep on doing. Look here, it's never too late to stop. Unless you're dead. Now, if you're dead, that's it. That's done. And that's hard preaching, but it is the truth. The day that you draw your last breath, that's it for you. Until then, you've got that moment that you can get it right. Now, what I need to know is, does anybody else in this service need to go to the bathroom? I know that's an offensive question, but I want to know it. And I'm not mad at anybody, but I need to know it because it's very difficult. See, I don't have a bunch of notes. I go off of the Holy Spirit. So I've got a sticky note here with these verses. And I am like a squirrel. All right? So what I need to know, if you got to go to the bathroom, I want you to get up in there and go to the bathroom and come out here and enjoy this service. But I'm going to try to keep my concentration. All right? Give it up for Miss Rocky. She's keeping it real. Praise the Lord. Y'all are making me have to pee. I'm just up here and I'm sitting here thinking, now do I need to go to the bathroom? Kelly, now if you're offended about that, you're going to have to get over it. And I will invite you at any point in time to get up here and try to do this. Because this ain't easy. And it's really not easy for me. Because when I tell you like a squirrel, that's really a compliment to me. Amen? Now here's what Pastor Kel's going to do for all of you that I just offended. I'm going to say I'm sorry, and I'm going to gather you all back up. Are we all looking here? Okay, great. And we're going to continue this message. Brother Larry's back there going. Brother Larry, you know it's difficult, don't you? Who's offended? You wouldn't raise your hand if you was. And if you're watching one of my lives, welcome to Parish Christian soon. Amen. God help me. In Jesus' name, that's going. Ugh. Now here's what Pastor Kel's going to do. I'm going to come back here behind this holy desk, and I'm going to get my thoughts together. Praise the Lord. All right. So God sees you as valuable. He sees you as valuable. Now, the point that I was trying to make is this right here. Most people, and I don't know whether you're saved or not saved, most people devalue themselves. One of the main ways that they do it is they focus too much time on what other people think. If you let people set the tone for your life, they will, and you'll be miserable. If you let people determine your self-worth by their opinions of you, you're going to be a miserable person. I can preach about this, and I know it because I live it. And when I get most miserable, God says, Kelly, you're letting that idol come back up in your life because, Kelly, you know you can't control what people think of you. So you need to stop. You need to stop. One day, and I love this story because it brings out a point, and it's this right here. Everybody's going to have an opinion of you. If you're breathing, they're going to have an opinion of you. Now, a couple months ago, I was bringing little Alea to school. And I love little kids because they will just be honest. I guarantee you, if a kid was up here preaching, we'd have a congregation of honest folks. But because I'm worried about what people think, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I can't say that. And I say a lot. But here I am with little Alea, and she goes, guess what, Pastor Kelly? I said, what, baby girl? She goes, guess what they're teaching me at school? Now, I like to hear what they're teaching these kids. I want to know. I said, what are they teaching you? And she goes, they're teaching us about opinions. I thought, yeah, God's trying to talk to me right now. And I said, really? And her daddy goes, yep. Alea, do you have any opinions? And she goes, oh, daddy, I got lots of opinions. Let me tell you something. What people think about you, those thoughts that they have about you, they're a dime a dozen. And if you're unhappy in your life and it's because you're worried about what people think, see, I cannot preach this to you before I can preach it to myself. So right now, I'm having my own moment with God because I'm telling myself, Kelly, you got to turn it around. You got to stop worrying about what people think because you know what? You're going to waste your life doing that. I can't control what people think, and you can't control what people think about you. People are going to think what they want to think. And you're going to think what you want to think. Now, what you need to do as a Christian is you need to control and form and shape how you think. There, Kelly, 5 years ago, when I would hear some of the stuff that I have to hear today, I would be the most judgmental person. Oh, my God, that person's just going to hell. Isn't that what we like to say?
Yeah.
Right?
Because
we're so self-righteous, they're going straight to the pits of hell. I mean, hell's going to open up and they're just going to fry there. Well, we got to stop saying stuff like that. Because
right.
That ain't saving nobody.
Right.
Now, if this message is too real for you, I'm sorry about that. But this is where we're living at today. We have to know that God sees us differently. And you can allow people to devalue you by concentrating too much about what they think about you. God sees you as precious. God sees you as honored. God sees you as loved. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Let's go to John chapter 15. And we're going to look at verses 15 through 17. So John chapter 15 and verse 15, it says this right here. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. I no longer call you a servant, but I call you friend. I call you friend. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There is a God that will stick with you when everybody leaves you. There is a God that will go any place with you. If you're traveling down the road of addiction, God is in there with you and he's trying to help you. If you're in that valley of decision and you're trying to figure out where is right and what is up and what is down, see, you've got a God that's trying to go to that place with you and fight that battle with you. And you're sitting there and you're thinking of yourself as devalued because you've made mistakes. See, the Word of God is true and the same for every person. The Word says, now whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they are going to be saved. It didn't say, now all the perfect people, they're the only ones that can cry out to me. No, it says that anybody can. See, we live in a very messed up world where there's all these ifs, ands, and buts. See, there isn't that with God. God says, if you'll ask me, I'm going to meet you right in that place. If you're struggling, and even Paul says in the Bible, why do I catch myself doing the things I don't want to do and the things that I know is wrong? I keep doing those things, and I'm having trouble doing the right thing. See, it's not a bad thing when you can say, God, I'm having trouble doing the right thing. The problem is most people, they won't be real with themselves and say, I'm wrong for doing what I'm doing. I'm dead wrong. I'm wrong for doing that. Now, I come from a Puerto Rican Italian crazy family. And I remember a specific vacation that I had with Aunt Kathy and Dad. And those two, it's his baby sister. How many years is there between y'all? 12. Okay. He's the oldest one in the family. And here's what Aunt Kathy does. Aunt Kathy wakes up at the before the roosters. We'll put it that way. I mean, that woman, I don't know how she does it, but she wakes up so early, it's insane. And about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning in Branson, she's knocking on our door. And I'm going, only crazy people do this. I'm like 10 years old, and I'm like, yep, my family is nuts. I got no hope. And they're sitting there, they're drinking their coffee. And they get into an argument. And Dad is the most passionate man I've ever met. And he goes, this right here. They got these little rinky-dink tables, you know, hotel furniture. It's very non-sturdy. And he goes, Kathy, you are dead wrong. And they argued about whether she was wrong or dead wrong for about 30 minutes. And I woke up to that. And I was thinking, oh, just say you're wrong and just stop. Okay. So I go to bed. An hour later, they're finishing up that little argument. And she's going and she's crying, Ange, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. And look here. Stop telling yourself you're right when you know you're wrong. Tell yourself, I'm doing wrong. Stop making excuses for yourself because you're going to mess up how you see yourself. What did I say? It's very important how you see yourself. Well, if you're confusing yourself and you're telling yourself wrong is right, then you're going to be very confused in your life. You can get in touch with the fact that, hey, what I'm doing ain't right. That's step number one, called stepping out of denial. Step out of denial and say, yeah, I'm having issues seeing myself the way God sees me because I'm telling myself that what I'm doing is right. And get to being real with yourself and owning your life. How does God see you? God sees you as blessed and successful, amazing, wonderful, honored, precious. He sees you as all those things. Align your vision of yourself exactly how he's got you. There's going to be times in your life where you're looking at yourself and I've done it myself. I've said, God, I can't be what you're telling me that I am. I feel like I'm standing on my tippy toes to be that person. Look here. That's called growth. Growth. Growing is hard because growing will make you change. You can either cycle through life and keep coming to the same dumb place that you always go to, or you can grow. And that decision is yours. And the next decision after that is, do I want God in this or do I not? Because see, as my daddy said for 30-something years, God is not a 16-year-old boy hard up for a date. Amen? You ever dated a 16-year-old boy or you ever had one? Okay, you get my point. Next place for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We're talking about how God sees us. How does God see you this morning? How does he see you? How do you see yourself? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, so I want to ask you this morning, are you in him? Are you in him? Are you in Christ? Or are you playing make-believe? Is God somebody you pick up and lay down just whenever you feel like it? Ladies at the jail, they go, Pastor Kelly, why don't you ever hardly ask us if we want to be saved? Well, it's very simple. You'll let me know. You think the God that I work for is hard up? No. That doesn't mean that he don't love you. But he ain't hard up. See, you can play the right. Here's what I know about ministry. You can play the right music and you can get the whole congregation saved. Or you can stand up and say, now who's going to go to the bathroom because we've got too many interruptions in this service, and then you can just let it be. See, God is still God regardless. But I'm not going to manipulate the situation This is called being real, and this is what happens in here on a weekly basis. I'm not interested in grooming and having people that are faking a $2, $3 bill. I'd like for everybody to just keep it real. If you've got a problem, come in here and sit down and own it. When the praise and worship starts, quit looking around at everybody. I tell you what, during the pandemic, I had the craziest complaints. One of them being, Pastor Kelly, I was looking around and praise and worship, and so-and-so was singing, and they didn't have their mouth covered. And I'm going, God, are you sure you want me to do this? Because everybody's got their limitations, Lord. And I'm about to snap. And that's when the Lord gave somebody the idea of making them chips called Snapped. And I eat those and I watch the show, Snapped. And what I wanted to know from that person is, what on earth are you doing looking around during praise and worship? What is wrong with you? We are in a pandemic, and people are dropping dead, and you're worried, and you're looking around. Don't you got problems in your life? You should be raising your hands and saying, God, deliver me. See? Everybody's worried about what everybody else is doing. I just want everybody to come in their seat. And let me tell you something. We don't have assigned seats here. Y'all can sit in the same place every Sunday, but if somebody comes and sits in your seat, get over it. Nothing worse than that. Come in here and own your life, please. Because I'm going to own mine. Come in here and be real. And ask God, God, show me how you see me, because I'm beating myself up over stuff that I've done that I'm not proud of. And so God, help me to see myself exactly how you see me so I can get through it. See, I'm not going to get up here and play the violin and try to dictate and manipulate your feelings. What I'm trying to get you to do is do the most constructive thing that you can do, is just think about your life. Think about your life. Stop thinking about whoever else in here. Think about your own life. See, in Luke, it says, take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be overcharged. See, you're going to get yourself where you can't even hold a normal charge. It's like a battery. Can't even hold a normal life event because you're overcharged. You're looking at everybody else and what's going on with them. Be concerned about yourself. Work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. And realize that it doesn't matter what you've done. God is here to forgive, and he is here to improve your life. And he sees you in a whole different way than you probably see yourself. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 17, and it says here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. How does God see you? As new. That's why God says his mercies are new every morning. God sees you as a new creation. You don't have to be that person that you were. And let me tell you something. The moment that you try to be different, you're going to have people that will not accept that new person. They're going to put you in that place where you're who you used to be. And look here, it don't matter what they think about you. Go on and be the new person. Right. They'll catch up or they won't. And if they don't, you don't need them. Right. If they don't catch up to the new you and the better you, you don't need those people in your life. People, places, and things. People, places, and things. How does God see you? How does he see you? He sees you as a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. I preach this, and I'll preach it till the day I die. There's things that, as Brother Larry says, I look back and I think, some of the messages I've been preaching since I was 19 years old. I've actually been preaching since I was 6, but that was just a June bug, so that doesn't count. But I've preached officially since I was 19 years old. One of the things that I wholeheartedly believe, and I'll keep believing, is God is the God in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. See, God is a gentleman. And he stands at the door of addiction and he knocks and he says, can I come in, please? He stands at the door of brokenness and he knocks and he says, can I come in, please? He stands at the door of divorce and he knocks and he says, can I come in? See, he stands at the door of every problem. Every one of your problems has a name. And see, we serve a God whose name is above every single name. Make no mistake, your problem has a name on it. And the Word of God says, if you will speak to the problem, if you will speak to the mountain, and if you tell it to go, and you've got that faith, it will go. The problem is people don't know their God enough to know that they've got power behind their talking. So turn the talking around and begin to talk faith and begin to talk the Word. And then you'll get results. You need to know how God sees you. And you need to begin to see yourself in that same way. You want to be powerful? Have a good, healthy look at who you are. God sees you as a new creation. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 9 through 10. And this is the last set of verses for me. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 through 10. I always make it to that point, Alyssa, in the service where I feel that peace. By the time somebody gets up and they preach, they've had a lot of battles before they got up there to get to do it. And when a pastor says, turn to so-and-so, one of the most beautiful sounds that you'll ever hear in your life, if you've ever been in the ministry, is you'll hear those pages of the Word of God begin to turn. And I want to tell you something. You're going to go through seasons in your life. Some of them are good. Some of them are not pleasant. Let me tell you something. If you'll let the Word of God be inside of you, you're going to be able to handle every season of your life. See, this isn't a spectator sport. This is your life. This is your life. And you have decisions to make. You have to decide, how am I going to see myself? You have to understand, how does God see me? This is your life. You own it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people. How does God see you? He sees you as chosen. A royal priesthood. See, God sees you as royalty. A holy nation. God sees you as holy. He sees you as holy. He says, be holy as I am holy. How does God see you? He sees you holy. A people belonging to God. How does God see you? He sees you as belonging. When life and people throw you away, God will never do that to you. Belonging to God. Belonging to God. If you are someone in here or on Facebook and you have always struggled with rejection and you've always struggled with feeling like you don't belong anywhere, I want to tell you that you belong to God. You belong to God. That you may declare the praises of Him. Look here. Who does God say that you are? How does God see you? God sees you as the one that says, you know what, you'll declare a thing and it'll happen. That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. See, God sees you as called out. What does He see you called out of? Every bit of hell, damnation, and everything else that you've been involved in, God sees you as called out and plucked out of that, and He puts you on a firm foundation. God says that you're called out. What did He call you out of? Darkness. See, this ain't no role and this ain't no joke. If you in here and you're letting this sweep over your head to the next one behind you, look here, you're missing out. If I was you, I'd pay attention because this is your life. Pastor Kelly ain't living your life. You're living your life. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. How does God see you? He sees you as His. You're the people of God. And nowhere in any place in the Bible will you see God says, my people have to be perfect and they have to be something that I know that they can never be. It is so important that you see yourself how God sees you. Whatever you've done in your life, whether you're in a good place or a bad place or a place in between, God sees you and He loves you so much. If you don't hear anything that is said today, if you've been sleeping, if you've been cutting up, if you've been in the bathroom, if you've been here, if you've been there, hear this. God loves you. It is not too late to turn around. You have not gone too far. Stop seeing yourself as defeated. See yourself getting through this. See yourself getting to the other side. See yourself. There are people in this room, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, when you're by yourself and you sit and you're sitting alone, you daydream about doing something for God. You're sitting here and you're thinking, some of you, you're sitting there about singing on the stage. Some of you, you see yourself doing something else. Look here. Keep seeing yourself doing that. Because God has put that inside of you. God has put it there. Do not let other people define you and devalue you by their opinions of you. You're going to have people that are going to be for you, and they're going to love you no matter what you do. And you're going to have people, God wants you to just take them out of your life. And you got to be good with both. You got to be good with both. I want to minister to that person, maybe more than one, maybe none. You can say, Pastor Kelly, I have a hard time seeing myself as God sees me. I have a hard time with self-image. I have a hard time seeing the good in myself. I want you to stand up. I'm going to pray for you. God wants you to see yourself better. God wants you to see yourself who you really are. He wants you to see yourself as successful. I'm going to give you a moment. Lord God, in Jesus' name, for every person that is standing up today, God, I know that you have met them exactly where they're at. So God, right now, I ask that you would give them, God, a healthy view of themselves. Lord, I ask you that you begin to show them how you see them. Lord, I thank you that there is nothing that you would not do for them because, God, you have already done it. Lord, we praise you, and God, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got one more question, and I don't ever ask it unless God tells me to. And I'm not going to make a big deal of it, but right now what I want to know is, does anybody need to be saved in this place? Or rededicated their life. I believe that God has been unctioning somebody. If that's you, you can meet me at the front of this church. I'm going to wait for a moment.